worthy of our repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then should we do? In reply, he said to them, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, teacher, what should we do? He said to them, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. Soldiers also asked him, and we, what should we do? He said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, John proclaimed the good news to the people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And if the words of this sermon are not yours, may you have a special word for us this morning. We pray in the name of the coming Christ. A lot of preachers and worship leaders follow certain themes for the four Sundays in Advent, typically hope, peace, joy, and love. Joy always falls on this third Sunday, which is why the Advent candle that we light on this day is pink, rose color, the color of rejoicing. But in the Middle Ages, apparently there were other themes for Advent. Death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Because nothing says, oh, come on, ye faithful, like hellfire and Dalmatians, right? It makes me think that the medieval church wasn't a lot of fun during Advent. Probably the kind of place where John the Baptist would feel right at home. No poinsettias or greenery or beautiful music, just stark surroundings and dire warnings. I have often wondered if John the Baptist was an early prototype of the Grinch. The Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season. Now please don't ask why, no one knows quite the reason. It could be that his head wasn't screwed on just right. It could be perhaps that his shoes were too tight. But I think the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. I expect we have all heard preachers as grinchy and cranky as John the Baptist. John sounds a lot like a 19th century revivalist. You know, the preachers who would preach for an hour or so until enough people felt guilty enough to come down and sit on what was called the anxious bench. The anxious bench was a pew near the pulpit that was reserved for people who needed special prayer for repentance or a confessional moment with the pastor. The hope, apparently, was that they, by occupying that public space of remorse, they would feel pressure to just go on and give their lives to Jesus. Now, personally, I think the anxious bench is why most Presbyterians sit as far back in the sanctuary as they can. But that's a sermon for another day. The anxious bench sounds like something John might use. Even now, he warns, heard me refer to him as the Doberman Pinscher of the Gospels, or the crazy uncle who crashes Christmas dinner and overstays his welcome by at least a week. But I will confess to you that my feelings toward John have softened a bit over the last 7 days, especially as I've paid closer attention to Luke's description of him. Yes, John still does his brood of vipers. But Luke has a different take on this. When Matthew tells the stories, John launches his verbal attacks against the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? But in Luke's gospel, those words aren't addressed to any specific group. Instead, John speaks to the entire crowd. Bear fruits worthy of repentance. In other words, we are all in need of redemption. We all need to repent. Most importantly, it is to all of us that the good news comes. And evidently, John's message lands with his hearers because they respond immediately. What then should we do? Easy. Share what you have. Whoever has two coats must share with someone who has none. Whoever has food must do likewise. Tax collectors, of all people, came to be baptized. And they asked, "Teacher, what should we do?" Everyone knew that tax collectors were forever slapping extra fees onto what the government required. John says, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers asked, "And we, what should we do?" While soldiers worked for the government, their compensation was minimal. But the practice, if not policy, was for authorities to turn a blind eye when soldiers extorted a bit more money from the public. To them, John says, be satisfied with your wages. In other words, John says, there's way too much talking the talk without walking the walk. If you're going to be a disciple, it had darn well better be evident in the way you live your life. In other words, I think John wants to turn us all into preachers, as Amy said, just in a slightly different way. Imagine living in first century Palestine and finding a tax collector who charges only what you owe, no extra fees, or a soldier who only does what is expected, without twisting your arm. Call me crazy, but I think, there's something different about this person. I'd like to find out what it is. St. Francis said best, preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words. And maybe that's John's Advent message to us. You and I, every one of us, are preachers. Some of us preach with our words, some of us preach with our music, but every one of us preaches with our lives. You know that this Advent we've been weaving in other stories along the Advent and Christmas stories of the Bible. And I want to introduce you one today to one you may not know. Haley spoke a bit about it earlier. It's called Preaching to the Chickens. It's the life of a young John Lewis. It tells the story of him growing up on a farm in Pike County, Alabama, with his parents and brothers and sisters, before finally representing the state of Georgia in the United States Congress. Now, on a large farm, cotton farm, everybody in the family had a job. Work hard and put your trust in God, John's mother used to say. God's going to take care of the children. Little John's job on the farm was to take care of the chickens, 60 of them in all, Rhode Island Reds and Bantams, and Dominiques as gray as dishwater with legs as yellow as daisies. John looked after those chickens with the same attentiveness that God gives to every one of God's children. And as Heavy said, John loved every one of his chickens, his brothers and sisters, couldn't tell one from another. But John knew everyone by name. is when the rolling store comes by the farm one day. If you've never heard of a rolling store, it's exactly what you would imagine. A panel truck carrying fruits and vegetables and bread and canned goods and flour and lard and Easter dresses and school supplies, you name it. When the truck arrived, the driver offered John's parents a deal. Anything they wanted in exchange for one of their hens. But John loved his chickens and didn't want any of them to go. He persuaded his parents to trade for eggs or seeds or produce so he could keep his chickens rather than sacrificing one who might turn into Sunday dinner. And that, the author suggests, is when John Lewis learned to speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. John Lewis spent a lifetime speaking up and announcing God's good news in the least suspecting places. A chicken coop in South Alabama, a bridge in Selma, the 1963 March on Washington, and on the floor of the United States House of Representatives. Preaching can take lots of different forms. Chickens, colleagues, Congress, classrooms, congregations, checkout lines. But John's question never changes. What are you saying with your own life?